or knows a way to ask for help. Once your child spontaneously and routinely hands things to you for help, start to work on encouraging eye contact when he asks for help. To do this, start as described before and wait for your child to initiate the request for help. Wait a little after your child has given you the object. If your child is making eye contact after he hands it to you, open it immediately with your script. If your child is not making eye contact with you, then do not open the container. Instead, just continue to hold it in your hand and look at your child expectantly. Chances are that your child will briefly make eye contact. When he does this, quickly catch his gaze and immediately open the container. If your child doesn't spontaneously look at you when you wait to open the container, ask, "Need help?" without moving the object. If your child makes eye contact, immediately open it. If your child still doesn't look, move the container near your face while looking at your child and ask again or shake the container. Wait for the gaze and then open it. Notice what is happening here. You have shifted the reinforcer, opening the container, so it now follows eye contact rather than giving. Over time, this should increase your child's use of eye contact and giving to request help. As your child becomes more skilled at giving the object and making eye contact for help, wait for them to occur together before you give help, and reward them consistently when they do by immediately helping your child. Your child will learn that giving plus making eye contact equals a powerful communication. Here are some ideas for how to set up activities for which your child needs your help. Use toys or items that your child cannot activate or act on without you. Bubbles, balloons, kazoos, other musical instruments, or spinning tops and gyroscopes. When she gives you the item, blow it, play it, or make it go. Divide drinks and snack materials into smaller portions or pieces, and teach your child to offer you the bowl, plate, or cup to request more from you. Package pieces of favorite toys, puzzles, blocks, pegs, wind-up toys, little cars, etc., in containers, and give them along with the script. Activity. Teach your child to give in response to your open hand and the words, "Give me," in many situations. Here are some ideas for encouraging your child to give you objects in response to your cues in a variety of situations. Ask your child to give you bites of dry cereal, crackers, or other finger foods during feeding activities at the table. Put out your hand, say, "Give me," and pretend to eat it. Really ham it up with sound effects and smiles, and then give the food back and thank your child. If your child picks up a piece of food and doesn't want it, ask for it back with, "Give me," or put something on the high chair tray or your child's plate that your child does not want. As your child picks it up to get rid of it, immediately ask your child to give it to you by extending your hand and saying, "Give me," so you can remove it. At the end of a meal, have your child give a spoon, plate, or cup before you take it off the tray and lift him out of the chair. This is helping with cleanup, a nice habit to cultivate. During diaper changing, hand the diaper to your child and then say, "Give me." Offer your hand, take the diaper, thank your child, and continue the change. During bath times, ask your child to give you various toys she is playing with and then give them right back. During dressing, have your child's socks and shoes right there beside your child. Hand the sock to your child while saying, "Here's sock," and then say, "Give me sock." Do the same with shoes. During object play, ask your child to give me a block, a puzzle piece, or whatever little object is part of the play. Go ahead and put it in place, and then give one to your child. This is turn-taking, and you are each giving the other an object and a turn. Very nice! Practice "give me" frequently during the day, 2 or 3 times in each activity until it is learned. Then, keep it up. Helpful tip. Don't use "give me" or "my turn" as a way to take away things your child is enjoying playing with. If your child is not going to get the object back, then say, "All done with the object," instead. If "give me" or "my turn" leads to object loss, your child will not be motivated to give things to you. Summary of Step 1. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you now have ideas for how to help your child give you objects throughout activities. This step begins the process of using joint attention to share things for help. The next steps will address how to expand the skill into sharing thoughts and feelings about the activities, but for now, see if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for teaching one particular type of joint attention, knowledge you will use in Step 2. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity Checklist. Am I teaching my child to give objects? My child and I regularly take turns during object-based joint activities. I know how to pause and wait during my turn for my child to look and or respond to me with a behavior. I have set up various objects in containers, and my child gives them to me for help. I provide clear cues for my child to give me objects by stretching out my hand and using simple language in my request. I make sure to give each object right back to my child. I have ideas for how my child will need my help during object-based activities, toy play, meal time, bath time. Andrew's parents have created several turn-taking games and are now ready to teach their 18-month-old son with autism how to give objects. They decide that creating opportunities in which Andrew will need their help might be more rewarding to him than taking the object out of his hands. With bubbles, Andrew's mom begins by placing the bubbles with the lid tightly closed on the floor, where he can easily see and touch it. As soon as Andrew spots the bubbles, he rushes over with excitement and picks up the container, ready to play. However, he quickly realizes that he cannot open the lid by himself. This is where Mom comes into action. Before Andrew becomes frustrated, she says, "Andrew, you want bubbles? Give me," and extends her hand, palm facing up. She waits a second to see if Andrew will comprehend the action, and when he does not respond, she adds, "I'll open the bubbles. Give me," and again moves her hand closer to him. When he does not respond, she quickly helps him place the bubbles in her open hand, and without delay, unscrews the lid while saying, "Open bubbles," and then, "Blow bubbles," followed by blowing bubbles for the two of them to pop. She opens and blows right away to reward his giving. After blowing bubbles a few times, Mom closes the container lid and hands the bubbles back to Andrew. He tries to open the container and cannot. Again, Mom says, "Give me bubbles," and extends her hand toward Andrew. This time, Andrew holds out the bubbles, and she helps him place the bubbles in her hand while saying, "Give me bubbles." Again, she quickly opens and blows the bubbles for Andrew to enjoy, and together they pop, clap, and stomp on bubbles. She closes them and gives them to him again. This time, he puts them directly into her outstretched hand. Within a few more practice sessions, he routinely gives them to her, and even picks them up from the table and offers them to her for help, but not always with eye contact. Now Mom takes the bubbles from him, but then waits momentarily before opening them to see if Andrew will look up at her. This is a change in the routine, and Andrew does look up at Mom to see what happened. She immediately responds by opening and blowing bubbles, and in doing so, she rewards Andrew for combining his eye gaze with the gesture. She doesn't expect Andrew to look at her every time he gives her an object. No child does that. But she does want it to happen more often and become easier for him to do. Joshua is a 3-year-old with autism who loves playing with trains. His dad has developed reciprocal back-and-forth games with other toy activities and sensory social routines, but does not feel successful when trains are involved. Joshua is protective of his trains and has his own agenda for how the game should be played. This usually involves lining up and rolling the trains on the carpet, and he doesn't want Dad to touch them or change the routine. Joshua's dad thinks that building in opportunities for help might work in his favor for creating a joint activity routine with trains. He decides that using the tracks, which Joshua cannot do alone, may be even more appealing to Joshua than running the trains on the carpet. Dad begins by connecting some track sections together as Joshua is rolling trains on the floor. He quickly shows Joshua how to roll trains on the track and then gives them back fast. Joshua loves this. It's a lot easier to roll trains on the track than on the shag carpet. After Joshua rolls the trains back and forth a few times, Dad takes out a piece of track, then another, until there is only one short one left. Joshua wants a longer track and reaches for a piece, trying to fit it in, but he can't. Dad reaches over to help. Joshua wants another one, and Dad helps again. Joshua picks up the next one, but now Dad extends his hand and says in simple phrases, "Need help? Give me." Joshua gives it, and Dad puts it in right away. Joshua then picks up the next piece, and again Dad says, "Give me." After another piece, Joshua looks at Dad and gives a track without any cues from Dad, spontaneously combining gaze and gesture to get help. We found so many ways to use trains and cars to build joint attention and language. My son loves both types of toys. We could hand out cars or trains individually upon request. We could make the trains and cars do fun things that he might not have thought of trying. I found that trying to help with building track was generally too slow to keep my son's attention. He would just find ways to make it work without being properly assembled. But there were many other possibilities, including running cars or trucks rapidly uphill and downhill, building structures into which the vehicles could crash, and hiding vehicles as a game, like peekaboo, without actually taking them away for long. By setting up a game in which a train rushes down a track to crash, I also encouraged joint attention by pausing, so my son would wonder why the train wasn't moving. This encouraged him to use words to ask for the train to move, and gradually to use eye contact more. At this point, he'll look right at my face to find out why I'm not doing what he expects. Helpful tip. If your child doesn't spontaneously make even brief eye contact after several attempts at waiting to solicit eye contact when she gives for help, then try positioning your face very close to the container or object your child has given you, either by holding it up close to your face or by moving your body so that you are at eye level with the container or object. Step 2. Teach your child to show you objects. Rationale. Showing involves sharing interest in an object by getting your partner to look at your object. Children hold things in front of parents, make eye contact, and draw their parents' attention, often by vocalizing, so that the parents will look at the object and make some sort of comment. It's a very important skill, because it gets people to label objects and so builds children's vocabulary. It also opens the door to social attention, praise, commenting, and other intrinsic features that motivate children to want to share things with others. How can you help your child learn about showing? Activity. Help your child learn about showing objects. Here are some ideas for motivating your child to show objects. First, show your child things. While you are in front of her, say, "Look! Look at the object," and hold the interesting object in front of your child. This should encourage your child to shift her gaze to the object. As soon as she does, name the object. Do this many times each day with objects your child is interested in. If your child reaches for the object after you show it and her gaze shifts to the toy, hand it right over. This rewards your child for looking when you ask her to. Think of the toys, materials, and objects your child comes into contact with each day. Since you and your child are already taking turns with those items, start holding them out to show what it's called, how it works, or what new actions can be done with it before you give it. During toy play, hold up an object and call your child's name. "Alex, look!" When he looks, name it. "It's a ball," or "See the balloon?" And then do something with it. Roll or throw the ball, or let go of the inflated balloon. Pairing the concept of showing with a fun and interesting effect also rewards the look and is likely to strengthen your child's response. He will understand how fun and exciting it is to pay attention to mom and dad when they say, "Look!" At meals, your child is focused on his plate. Pick up a container of a highly preferred food and say, "Name, look," while showing the container. After your child looks, hand over some of the food. In the bathtub, show your child different materials or new actions to do. First call your child, "Carissa, look," and when she looks, hold out the toy, see the duck, and perform the action. Make the duck tickle Carissa or splash the water. At bedtime, as you are looking at a book with your child, point to a picture while saying, "Look, it's a object name." When your child shifts his gaze to the picture, make an interesting effect, sound effect, or action with the book. Activity. Teach your child how to show things to you. In step one, you taught your child how to give for help by making a specific gesture, your outstretched hand, saying, "Give me," and then helping your child give over the object. What you will teach your child now is how to show things to you by building on the give. Once your child consistently looks when you show him objects, you can begin to teach your child how to show. Here are some suggestions. Find a time when your child is holding an object. Get right in front of her and then say, "Show me. Show me the object." And hold your hand out to your child as if you were requesting a give. Your child should be able to give easily before you start working on how to show. Be sure to emphasize the word show, because that will be the cue that tells the child that you are not asking her to give it to you, but rather to show it to you. When your child tries to hand the object to you in response to your request, don't take it. Instead, admire it very enthusiastically. For example, "Wow, what a cool bear," and let your child keep it. Your child has placed the object in front of you, and your enthusiastic attention is the reward for showing. Practice this many times a day in many different activities. You can touch the object to admire it, but you don't want to break your child's contact with it. Showing means holding something out for another to see without giving it. And this is what you are trying to teach. After your child is routinely holding the object out toward your hand when you say, "Show me," stop offering your hand and see if your child can respond to the words alone. If he does, admire it enthusiastically as before. If not, then offer your hand part way, partial prompt, but not all the way. As you keep practicing, do less and less with your hand until your child is responding just to your words. Now, after your child is showing objects to you consistently, wait for eye contact. Ask your child to show, but hold back your enthusiastic comment until your child looks at you. Your child may well look at your face to see why you are not responding. As soon as she looks, admire the object enthusiastically. Continue to wait for the gaze combined with showing to comment. Expect your child to show and look at you. If your child doesn't look, then quietly speak her name, make a sound, or draw her hand to your cheek. Once you have the gaze, respond enthusiastically. Continue this way, slowly fading your prompts. Your child will likely begin to show while making eye contact and to look more often. Note: be sure to name the object as you admire it every time. For young children, showing is a powerful way to elicit words from parents, and it helps build their vocabulary. A typical response we use is, "Car! What a neat, cool, big car!" In this response, the child hears the key word twice. Language learning is a secondary goal here and everywhere. Think about several daily activities you do with your child. Breakfast, getting dressed, toy play, snack time, diapering, sensory social routines, lunch, running errands, going to the park or playground, reading books, bath time, and bedtime. How many different objects do you and your child come into contact with? Take advantage of these different activities to help your child learn how to show different objects. If you can practice this 2 or 3 times in 4 to 6 activities each day, you will be providing your child with lots of learning opportunities. Be sure to continue to show your child objects and use the look instruction all the time you are teaching Show Me. Showing and looking when others show are two sides of the same joint attention act. Be sure to continue to use Give Me throughout the day, so your child doesn't forget about the correct response to Give Me while you are focusing on Show Me. Helpful tip. Do not be tempted to say good boy, good showing, or another reward phrase. Name the object and admire it enthusiastically. Your enthusiasm is the reward. Summary of Step 2. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have taught your child to show you objects on request. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for expanding your child's joint attention skills, knowledge you will use in Step 3. If not, go back to the start of this section and start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity Checklist. Am I teaching my child to show objects? I have ideas for what objects I can show to my child. I am able to elicit my child's attention to the object by saying, "Look at the object." When my child looks at the object, I quickly name it and do something fun or rewarding with it that my child enjoys. I know how to show different objects to my child across different activities. I know how to help my child show me an object by saying, "Show me the object," and extending my hand if needed. When my child shows an object by handing it to me, I do not take the object, but instead respond enthusiastically with positive attention and praise. My child is able to show objects to me with eye contact, although it may not happen every single time. What about Andrew? Andrew loves water, and his parents think that bath time might be a fun time to show different objects and actions to him. Dad goes through his usual routine of filling up the tub with bubbles and placing Andrew in it. But instead of dumping in all the toys at once, he decides to show each one to him, starting with a plastic fish. Dad says, "Andrew, look." And when Andrew does, Dad responds with, "It's the fish," and hands it over to him. He lets Andrew have a few minutes to play with the fish, describing the actions he does with it and doing fish faces for Andrew to imitate. Next he says, "Andrew, look what I have." He waits for Andrew to look up before spraying him with the squirting whale, a routine he loves. Andrew laughs and reaches for the toy, which Dad labels, "It's a whale." As he washes Andrew, Dad continues holding up an object every few minutes to show to Andrew, and waiting for him to look before naming it. By the end of bath time, Dad is surprised and delighted at how many times he has been able to get Andrew's attention by saying, "Look," and how quickly Andrew has learned the routine. What about Joshua? Joshua's mom wants to engage with her son when he plays with trains. She thinks about what she could do that might make him enjoy showing his trains to her, and she decides that adding train sound effects and singing some of his favorite lines from train songs might work. The next time Joshua is holding a train, Mom says, "Show me your train," and holds her hand out. He doesn't want to give her his train, so he ignores her request. Mom repeats her request and lifts his hand in the air a little. She's careful not to touch the train or his hands too long, because she doesn't want him to think she's trying to take it away. As she helps Joshua show the train, she responds with, "Ooh, I see the train! It goes choo-choo!" And she moves her hands in a circular motion. She makes a little song and dance out of it. The train goes chugga-chugga, chugga-chugga, choo-choo. She stops, and he looks up for more. Then she asks Joshua again to show his train, and again slightly lifts his hand toward her while singing the verse. She decides to elaborate the routine and sing the Little Red Caboose song in its entirety with gestures, so that Joshua can enjoy the activity a bit longer before she asks him to show a train to her. Once she has finished, Mom says, "Joshua, show me that train," and she points to a different train on the ground. Joshua picks it up, and while he doesn't yet hold it out to Mom, he does look from the train to her. Mom responds immediately, "There's the train! I see it!" and extends Joshua's hand toward her, followed by singing the song. Mom continues the routine, asking Joshua to show her a different train, helping him do the show gesture if he doesn't respond on his own, and responding enthusiastically. She also starts pausing briefly for him to look at her before singing the song, so that she and Joshua can share the excitement. Step 3. Teach your child how to point to objects to share experiences. Rationale. Pointing typically develops after giving and showing. It's an important tool because your child can use it to share interest with you in objects and events that he is not touching. A bird in the sky, the lights overhead, a dog on a leash, a lion at the zoo. It is another means to comment about something your child sees, and therefore another route to a learning opportunity. As with the other gestures, it is easiest to teach your child first to comprehend pointing and then produce it. Activity. Help your child learn to follow a point. Here are suggestions for teaching your child to follow your point. To teach your child what pointing is all about, use your finger to point to, tap, and draw your child's attention to an object very near your child, something your child is looking for or may want. As you point, say something like, "Jamie, look, a cookie." For instance, point to pieces of food on the table in front of your child that she will want to pick up. Point to a puzzle piece that your child will want to pick up and put in the puzzle. Point to the place in the puzzle where the piece should go. "Jamie, it goes here." When your child follows your point to the object, help your child as needed to achieve her goal with the object. This is the reward for following your point. For an object your child wants, instead of giving it, put it down and point to it. "Here's the car." If your child does not follow your point, reposition yourself, the child, or the object to help him complete the action. Point to something that is close by, between you and your child. Keep pointing while your child picks up the object so that your child sees the relationship between your point and the object placement. Before using the give to me gesture, opening your hand while saying give me, point to the object you want your child to give you. Point, direct her attention to the object, and then turn your hand over into a give me gesture and help your child give you the object. Give your child a lot of experience with following your points in all kinds of settings. Within a few days, you will probably see your child starting to follow your point and understanding what it means. When your child consistently follows your point, you know that she has learned its meaning. As your child learns to follow your point and touch, start to put more physical space between your point and the object you are pointing at, as you continue to say something like, "Steffi, look, the baby." Start by having 6 inches of space between your finger and the object. Later, increase it to 12 inches, then 2 feet, then 3 feet. Things on the floor, couch, or bed are appropriate for working on longer distances. Now you know that your child knows that pointing directs his attention to something important. Make sure your child gets the object after looking. Position objects or toys your child really likes out of reach and point to the object saying, "Timmy, look, the jack-in-the-box," waiting until your child looks at the object before getting it down and giving it over. There are many opportunities in your existing routines to help your child follow your point. During your turns, think about how you can vary the activity by pointing to different things your child might attend to. Here are some ideas for different ways to demonstrate pointing. During toy play, use toys that have multiple pieces so that during play you can point to where the next item might go, the place for a puzzle piece, the top of the tower for block stacking, the hole for the peg or shape that matches. Or hide the last piece on the floor nearby. And when your child is looking for the last piece needed to complete it, say, "Name, look," while pointing at the needed piece. Point to button-activated toys so that when the button is pushed, the fun effect will happen. Use picture books with large, clear pictures, but not too many on a page, because there is something on each page to point to and show your child. Try toys that might be a little difficult for your child to use on her own, so that your pointing to show how to operate them will help your child succeed. Point to things you know your child will likely want in all kinds of settings. To cereal on his high chair tray. To the next ring that goes on the ring stacker. To bath toys. Activity. Teach your child to point to request objects. Now it's time to teach your child to point. To learn pointing, your child needs to be able to reach with her hand consistently toward distant objects to request them, to indicate choices and desires without having to touch the objects. You have started working on this in Chapter 8. Here are suggestions for teaching your child to point. If your child can use a reach to communicate a request, rather than as a way to grab, hold the object slightly away from your child. For example, "Do you want a drink?" to elicit your child's reach. Then very quickly mold your child's hand to a point. Point, point to cup, and bring the tip of your child's index finger over to touch the desired object. Then immediately give the object. "Here's the cup." It works a little better at first if you hold the object in your less dominant hand and shape your child's point with your dominant hand. Don't worry about molding a perfect point. Just work toward extending your child's index finger. With time and practice, you can help your child close the other fingers. Pointing is a challenge for children with ASD to learn, and you will want to help your child practice many times a day at times when your child really wants something. It's the getting it after pointing that rewards your child's point and builds the skill. Practice especially at meals, during object play, and during bath time. Try to practice it several times in each activity in which your child is requesting an object with her body. Once you give the object to your child, let her have it for a few minutes. You don't want to take it away and ask for another point. That would be very frustrating for your child. You should see, over time, that your child begins to extend the index finger without your having to shape it first. That's great. Don't expect a perfect point. It will evolve over time. A spontaneous approximation to a point without your hand molding is much more important than a perfect point. After your child is pointing spontaneously to objects within reach, you want to teach your child to point through the air without having to touch the object. This is called a distal point, while the closer one is a proximal point. To teach a distal point, hold the object a little out of your child's reach. As your child extends the point toward the object, give it to him without having your child's pointing finger touch it. Start with a 4 to 6 inch gap. Once your child is pointing easily to things just out of reach, hold it back more, 12 inches, then farther, 18 to 24 inches. Now your child has a distal point. Now present things from the side or above. Help your child point to things in all directions. Once your child has mastered the distal point, provide a choice of two objects while naming the objects. Andrew, car, or truck, so your child can point to choose. This works well for larger things, cereal boxes, shirts, milk or water bottles, bath toys, and so on. Pointing to choose is a very functional skill. Be sure to name the choices. This is a great vocabulary builder. As with the giving and showing gestures, we teach pointing first without expecting eye contact. But once your child is using pointing easily and consistently to request, start to expect eye contact after the point gesture before giving your child what she is requesting. This requires that you be in front of your child and offer things directly in front, so it is easy for your child to make eye contact. Once your child points, hold the object back and wait patiently for your child's eye contact before you release the object. If you need to, call your child's name or make a little sound to encourage her to look at you. Slowly increase expectations that eye contact will follow pointing to an object routinely. Here are some specific ideas for teaching pointing to request objects. You can provide your child with lots of opportunities for practice by controlling multi-piece materials, such as puzzle pieces, pieces for a shape sorter, pegs for a pegboard, or Legos, Tinker Toys. Have your child request several of them as you offer them by pointing. Putting little round dots or stickers on objects as pointing targets helps some children learn pointing more quickly. Each time, they will touch the dot with their point. After they learn to do this spontaneously, and it is well established, you can peel off the dots and they will continue to point. Picture books were a wonderful resource for my son. We were able to find books with his favorite types of objects and then build more and more on the images. At first, we just used the books to encourage him to point. As he learned to point to things on request, he began to point to things that interested him the most, to share his enjoyment of them. With time, we were able to ask more and more complicated questions. We initially asked him to point to objects, then to specific colors or shapes, then to parts of objects. For example, where is the wheel? Then to more abstract things, for instance, which is your favorite car, and so on. I was able to find books that showed facial expressions as well, and that was a huge help in practicing recognition of expressions. Once he had the idea of pointing to things in the books, it opened up all sorts of possibilities for learning. Activity. Teach your child to point to show or comment. Children can use pointing to express several meanings. It can mean, I want this, requesting. It may mean, do this, regulating another person's behavior. It may mean, attend to this, or I'm interested in this, the showing or commenting function. The commenting function is really important for language and vocabulary, as well as social development. It is how typically developing children get parents to label objects of interest. We have already talked about teaching pointing for requesting and teaching giving to get help or to get someone to remove something. Now we shift to helping your child learn to use pointing and gaze as a way of showing or commenting. Here are suggestions for teaching your child pointing to show or comment. Pointing to show is a more complex way of showing. Your child needs to have mastered showing on request before you start to work on pointing to show. One of the best ways to encourage pointing to show or comment involves developing commenting routines about books that have several very clear pictures on a page, or picture albums, or puzzles with pictures. In any of these routines, while facing your child, point to each picture in turn. When your child looks at the picture, short pause, name the picture. You have done this earlier in teaching your child to follow a point. When you do this, you are modeling pointing to show, comment. When your child looks, make interesting sound effects to add to your child's engagement with the activity. Be sure your child is attending to each picture you point to. When your child's interest wanes, the activity is finished. Do the same books in the same way for a week or so. It builds up your child's learning about the routine, and your child's interest and attention will likely expand. Once your child enjoys and really understands this activity as a pointing and naming activity, you will begin the variation. Be sure to be in front of your child. Begin the activity. Point to the picture, but do not speak. Don't name the picture, just wait, ready to speak. Your child will likely look up to you to see why you are not naming. When your child looks at you, name the picture and make the sound effects. If your child doesn't look, refer back to the ideas in the preceding section. Do a few more pictures in the regular way to establish a pattern or theme, and then do this waiting variation again. Continue this way for a few days. You will probably see your child learn to use looking to cue your speech. You have taught the child to use eye contact as a way to get someone to produce a label, that is, as a way to initiate commenting. The next step involves teaching your child to use her own point to get you to comment. Position yourself in front of your child. Now, rather than your pointing to the pictures, let your child do the pointing. If she already does that spontaneously, great. Otherwise, take your child's hand and help your child point to each picture while you provide the word and sound effects right after the point, just as before. Once this becomes a set routine, provide less and less help with the point until your child is leading the activity by pointing to each picture and you are responding to your child's point with a word. Once your child is initiating pointing to pictures for you to name, begin the activity, and when your child points to the picture, do not speak. Just wait, ready to speak. Your child will likely look up to you to see why you are not naming, and when your child looks at you, you name the picture and make the sound effects. Do a few more pictures for your child in response to pointing without requiring eye contact, and then do this waiting variation again. Continue this way for a few days. You will likely see your child learn to use pointing and looking to cue your speech. You have taught the child to use point and gaze as ways to get someone to produce a label. That is, as ways to initiate commenting. Your child is now combining pointing and gaze both to initiate and to comprehend commenting, just as it occurs in typical development. Generalize this skill by playing the point and name game in many situations. Bathtub toys allow for the point and name game. Crackers in the high chair work fine if you line them up and point and count. You can also do this with books in a line on the floor, with little cars, with objects on the coffee table, or with utensils at the table. Show your child objects outside by pointing and naming. Help your child show you interesting things outside. A flower, a dog, a bird, a sprinkler running with the point and name game. Remember, the showing routine is also a naming routine. As you do pointing and showing in more and more situations, you will start to see your child spontaneously point to something in order to show you something for you to name. This is a huge step and opens up a world of sharing thoughts, feelings, and words for your child. Summary of Step 3. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have taught your child how to give, show, and now point to objects across different communicative functions, to request an object, to ask for help, to make a comment, to share an experience. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for expanding your child's joint attention skills. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity Checklist. Am I teaching my child to follow my point and to point to objects? My child is able to follow my point to attend to, place, and pick up toys, food items, or other objects. My child is able to make a point with my help if needed, when I offer an item or a choice between objects. My child is able to follow my point to pictures during book routines. When I point to a picture and pause, my child looks up at me during book routines. My child points to pictures and looks at me during book routines. I feel confident that my child and I have the tools to share activities with each other. What about Andrew? Andrew loves balloons, so his parents think of several ways to work on pointing during this activity. First, they start the usual routine or theme in which Andrew communicates to them by blowing to blow up the balloon and let it go flying around the room. After a few instances of this, his parents vary the game by kneeling next to Andrew so that he won't see where the balloon lands right away. Since his parents know where the balloon is, they are able to point to its location and help Andrew follow their gesture to pick up the balloon. They make sure he doesn't put it in his mouth to prevent choking by being right by his side. Instead, they point to the balloon in his hand and ask him to give it to them. Since his parents have been teaching Andrew to give objects, he doesn't need to see their outreached hand to understand their request and is able to give the balloon. His parents repeat the new game of Andrew asking them to blow up and let go of the balloon, waiting by his side for the balloon to land, and then pointing to its location. It works so well that Andrew starts looking at his parents before the balloon even lands for their cue. Next, his parents move on to teaching Andrew how to point. His mom blows a little air into the balloon and then points to the slightly inflated balloon, asking Andrew, "More blow?" Andrew makes a sound in response, so his mom blows a little more and then stops. This time, she helps him point while making a sound, and then she blows two more times into the balloon before stopping. Again she points to the balloon, asking Andrew, "Blow?" And then takes his hand to point to the balloon before continuing to blow. She does this several more times until the balloon is large enough to let go. She releases the balloon, and Dad points once Andrew looks at him for where the balloon has landed. When Andrew gives her the balloon, Mom goes through the routine of blowing a little air into the balloon at one time before having Andrew request more by pointing to it. Although he doesn't point perfectly, Andrew does tap the balloon with his finger, and that's good enough for Mom and Dad. What about Joshua? Joshua has several train books that he and Mom usually look at when Mom is getting him ready for bed. Mom places the book between them on the bed and points to pictures that she notices Joshua looking at. "You see the caboose?" or, "Yeah, there's the smoke." After a few more pages of commenting on what Joshua sees, Mom points to a different picture on the page and says, "Joshua, look! There's the black train," and makes a train whistle noise to add effect. He looks up at her, so she points to the train on the next page and makes the whistle noise again. She continues pointing to the pictures Joshua sees, as well as those she wants to show him. Mom gradually starts to pause once she's pointed to the picture because she wants Joshua to look at her. Once he does, she makes the whistle sound or names the picture. Over the next few nights, this is their new routine with train books, and it's not until the next week that Mom helps Joshua point to a picture before naming it or adding the sound effect. She continues pointing to pictures as well, so that Joshua doesn't have to point to a picture on every single page. This could be too much of a new skill to make him do in just one night. But each night, during their bedtime routine, Mom helps Joshua do a little more, point to a few more pictures, or wait for him to look at her before turning the page. The next 2 weeks are marked by definite improvement in Joshua's ability to share books with his mom. He eagerly chooses which books he wants to take to bed, and when Mom asks, "Where's the red train?" or "Do you see the conductor?" Joshua is excited to point to the picture and say, "Train," or simply vocalize a sound. Recently, he started pointing to pictures on his own.